Just because something is old doesn't mean it's out of date. Just because something is tried and true doesn't mean you need to change it. Just because there's an instant in which you speak about God and you speak about salvation and you speak about holiness and you speak about sin, that doesn't mean that we need to replace those things with words that would be more appealing to our society. Maybe we need to emphasize the old words so that our society would understand them in a new way and that they would embrace the truth of those words. We have a propensity, I think, in our society to try to come up with all kinds of words to change the word, which we want to somehow or another almost deceitfully change the meaning. I don't think we need to do that. I think we need to uphold what the words are about. If people don't know what they're about, then let's train them. Let's teach them what they're about. Let's teach them what those words mean. Well, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that's an old verse written many, many years ago, almost 2,000 now. But the truth is still there. It has not changed. Oh, yes, we're living in a high-tech world. We've got these screens up. We've got all kinds of stuff. You heard that beautiful old song on a CD, you know, hardly. But it was still the truth, wasn't it? It's quite fashionable today to deny the existence of God, but really that's nothing new either. The psalmist tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's not new. It's been around for a long time. I read a story about a couple of guys that were going to go camping in the wintertime, and they were trudging out there, and they found a spot to camp, and they set up their camp, and it was getting towards dusk, and they built a campfire, and this one guy was trying to witness to his friend, trying to influence his friend about Christ, and began to talk to him about God, about Christ, about Jesus, and the guy said, you know, I don't want to hear anything about that. I've never seen God. And the guy said to him, what's that over there? And he looked over there a little ways, and he saw some snowmobile tracks over there. And his friend said, what made those tracks? And he said, well, a snowmobile, obviously. He said, did you see it? No, I didn't see it. He said, behold, the tracks of God. Friends, it's all over the place. But you got to open your eyes. It's the old truth. It's the truth. You see, truth doesn't vary. It doesn't have degrees. It doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't have a time expiration date. It's just the truth. God has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday to the apostles and all those who saw him on that glorious resurrection morning as he is today. And forever. You know, I like that. I like this, the truth that in this world of constant change, in this world where you wake up one day and you can fly to Europe and the next day you can't because a volcano is erupting and got all kinds of ash all over the place, that there's something that does not change, that there's something that's constant, that there's something you can grab a hold of, there's something you can stand on. You can't stand on this earth. It's shaking all the time. But there's something more solid than the earth, and that's Jesus. Does not change. God does not change. And you know, God's personality does not change. He's not like a weather vane. There's not one day that he'll treat you this way and then some other way the next day. Now, we do that to God. Some days we're excited about what God is doing and we're just kind of almost like cheerleaders. We're rah, 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 you know, praise the Lord. And then another day, maybe something happens. We lose our job or maybe get in a car accident or, you know, we have diarrhea or something like that. And we're just, we change, but the Lord doesn't change. You know, the Word of God does not change. That's very problematic for a lot of people. They just can't imagine anything that does not change. It's an amazing thing. You know, there's the old adage that everything changes. Well, that's an absolute statement. That statement doesn't change. Well, the Word of God doesn't change. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words are not going to pass away. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but what? The word of our God shall stand forever. Have you ever taken any notice of the changes in things that were supposed to be very important? Like medicine, for example. There's lots of changes going on in medicine. Would you want somebody to operate on you today who had a knowledge of medicine from the 1920s? No. No, thank you. Although, it's strange how everything's changing and things do improve and get better, yet they started using these little slivery things a couple of years ago, leeches, to put on wounds to suck that blood out because it's less invasive and it's better for you. So even that changed for the best. There are still some things that were good from the 1920s. But I still don't want anybody operating on me with that kind of mindset. Have you ever looked in, my wife has kept a lot of medical books and some of her textbooks from high school and things like that. And I pull them out every now and then because I have to dust them and stuff like that. She never uses them. I noticed a couple of things, you know, there's stuff in there that's not right, you know. The earth is not flat. It's just not right. I've seen the pictures. It's round, you know. Well, the word doesn't change. The Reformation came along, you know, and the Reformation brought about five just simple, you know, sometimes simplicity is power. The Reformation made five simple statements. It's talking about sola scriptura, sola scripture alone. Sola Christus, Christ alone. Sola gratias, which is grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Faith alone is necessary for salvation. And sola de gloria, which means alone God should get the glory. I don't think you can improve on those. They found a touchstone of truth that shall never change. Times change, most assuredly. Maybe it's time once more for us to embrace change and get back to the timeless principles that are in the world. You know, somebody said we need to wash our hair and rinse it out. Well, you don't just stop there. It'd be a good idea to do that same thing the next day. If you want clean hair, that is. The Word of God does not change. It doesn't need to change. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, any two-edged sword. God knows the end at the beginning. Doesn't have to change. Doesn't make any mistakes. You know, the emperor, Roman emperor Diocletian came along, and of course, Christianity had been about, you know, 400 years in the Roman Empire at that time, and Christianity was spreading throughout the Roman Empire, and Diocletian saw this as a bad thing. The average Roman citizen was abandoning pagan temples, and some of these had fallen in disrepair and nobody was using them, and things, as far as he was concerned, were changing for the worse. And so he decided to institute some persecutions and stop Christianity. Matter of fact, he made an edict that Christianity would be stamped out in the Roman Empire. And he began to affect that. He began to affect that by many ways. He used all kinds of terrible tortures. He would get people and he would torture them to give up their contacts with other Christians. And, of course, he would try to kill them. He would boil people in oil to try to get particular information about them. He had a bounty on the Word of God. If you turned in a New Testament letter or a New Testament manuscript or Old Testament book or something like that, you got a bounty. You were paid for that. It's kind of, God has got a wonderful sense of humor. It's funny because some of the people who were doing the collecting didn't know what the Word of God was. So someone would come up and give them an ancient Greek manuscript. One of them that I read about was very interesting. It was a Roman census for taxes that was 10 years old. and they gave them to the Roman official, and the Roman official gave him the bounty. I thought, that's clever. You know, he can't read that. He doesn't know how to read it. So, well, I guess so, you know. But anyway, Diocletian brought all this tremendous pressure on the church, and he killed thousands, burned them at the stake, did all kinds of stuff. Just a terrible, terrible persecution. And when he finally came to the end of what he thought this was, the end of Christianity, he set up a statue. He set up a monument, and he put around that monument the ashes from thousands and tens of thousands of New Testaments and things that he collected. And on that statue it says, extinct is the name Christian. I've done my job, he said. Well, it wasn't too many years after that that another emperor came along. His name was Constantine, and I don't know how the Lord got a hold of his heart or whatever like that. But Constantine converted to Christianity, and he wanted a New Testament. And he gave a bounty. If somebody could bring him a Bible within 2 hours, he had over 200 Bibles. Listen, you can rail and you can kick and you can bring all kinds of pressure against the Word of God if you want to do that. But you're in a losing situation, friend. You're barking up the wrong tree. Extinct is going to be your name, not Jesus's. You know, the world has changed, but human nature doesn't change. Over in Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone from his own way. You know, I think that the scripture teaches us that man is a tripart being. He's three, body, soul, and spirit. There are some who say, you know, dichotomy, body and soul and spirit the same. But nevertheless, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, it says this. And Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I think God knows more about us and how we're made up, our completeness, than anybody on the face of the earth, 100 put together, 1,000 put together. Because He designed us. He created us. And He also knows that business of the human nature. That business of the human nature, we have a desire to serve God. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a desire to serve God, but many, many times we fall short in our service. Many, many times the very things that we don't want to do, those are the things that we do. The things that we want to do, then we sometimes don't even do them. Matter of fact, I think Paul said that. God knows us. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. But He also knows that in that frame, there is that old sin nature, that old man who wants to rebel against God. And it has not changed. Perhaps you read not too many weeks ago, a doctor, PhD, her name was Amy Bishop. She was a Harvard University neuroscientist teaching in Alabama. She killed three of her colleagues and wounded three more. Obviously, her PhDs didn't do any good as far as her old man was concerned. Mary Courtney Brooks, who is a Rhodes Scholar, she's 38. She was educated at Yale. She's a lawyer. She was elected mayor in New Jersey, and she made this bold statement, I'm going to end crime in my first term. You know, that's kind of like calling, you know, don't ever ask me to go with you if you're going to get on the Titanic. You know, don't ever, I'm not going on that ship, you know, because it's unsinkable. It's just almost asking for it, isn't it? During World War II, I think the very first ship the Germans sank was the Invincible. You know, I mean, she was asking for it. I'm going to end crime in my first term. Well, in her first term, there were five college students that were executed and killed. And they don't know why now. And they don't know who did it. Well, is there something wrong with education? There's nothing wrong with education. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is that the more we change, the more we stay the same. We can wear a Brooks Brothers suit and $500 pair of shoes and we can be a murderer. We can put on a big smile and we can show a face of love, but in our heart may be hate. You know, I would be dead already if looks could kill. How about you? Yeah. Well, you know, in Iran, our troops are there in a war situation, very dangerous place, killed daily. But, you know, they're doing other things there, aren't they? They're educating children. They're doing all kinds of what we would call humanitarian things. Haiti just recently had that terrible storm, and all those people lost their homes. Millions of dollars, millions of man hours, human efforts to help the fellow man. Those are marvelous things. You see, within us, there is that capacity to do great things. But also within us is that capacity to do terrible things. And God knows that. He knows our frame. And He knows how we are made up. And that when push comes to shove, we normally put number one first. When push comes to shove, we will resort to that thing that's deepest within us. And that thing that's deepest within us is that old sin nature. And that will come out every time. No matter what. Except save Christ be in your life. Then there's a transformation that's going on. There's a renewal going on. There's a renovation going on. There's the Spirit of God living in your life. And you know, the world we live in today, with all the advantages, you can go to any bookstore in this town and you're going to find Bibles. Did you know that? You'll find them over here in Walmart or Myers or wherever you want to go. There's a place, someplace in that store where they sell books, and probably 90% of the books in there are just junk, but there's a place that has a Bible. We live in that kind of world. We live in a world that all kinds of things are marvelous and wonderful. We're going to get out here. We're in here, and when it's cold, we have heat. When it's hot, we have air conditioning. We get in our cars, and when it's cold, we have heat. When it's hot, we have air conditioning. You know, I used to know a guy that had a Volkswagen. When it was cold, he was cold. They had a heater, but it didn't make any difference. And when it was hot, guess what? He was hot. Well, we've made some advances, even Volkswagens, I think. But we're still the same. When he wrecked his Volkswagen, he got out and threw a fit. But it was his fault. The light changed, the lady in front of him stopped, and he didn't because he was talking to me. Happens all the time, doesn't it? You can be in a brand new Mercedes. You go down here in the corner and somebody stops in front of you and you wreck your car. 9 times out of 10... you're probably going to be mad at the other person. Well, they should have run that red light. What's wrong with these people? Don't they know I'm in a hurry? Or some kind of reasoning like that. You see, we're the same on the inside. We can dress it up and we can do all kinds of things, but we're still the same. And that's not going to change. God's not going to change. The need for our salvation is not going to change. Because our natures need to be changed. And that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Interesting, what was on the front page of this paper wouldn't even make the paper. Boy Scouts, church activities, on the front page. Matter of fact, Jack, I don't know. Is there such a thing as the Syracuse Wallasey Journal anymore? Well, that's good. I should have tried to get one to see what was on the front page today. It's all right to change. Matter of fact, we need to change. But we need the change that's going to affect real change. Not just external, but internal. The change that comes by Christ in our lives. When we repent of our sins, the same thing that Peter said we needed to do on Pentecost, we need to do today. And the same Holy Spirit that entered their lives will enter your life. And the same God will be your God, who is the only God, and that's Jesus. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we are not constantly having to wonder about and worry about if God's going to change his idea of things today versus tomorrow. We don't have to. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy in Christ. We thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you that you know our frame, that you know who we are better than we do. You know our needs better than we do. But Father God, help us to open our eyes that we might see that there is purpose and design in this old chaotic world. And that man needs to be in right relationship to you. And then we can be in right relationship to our fellow man. We need this gift of salvation. Father, this morning as we're here today, Lord, there's so many things that are rapidly changing around us. It's frightening. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, let alone 10 years from now. There are those, of course, who predict all kinds of dire consequences. There were those just the other day talking about this volcano bringing on a new ice age. And then the very next day, I heard some other experts say no. What are we to think? Father, draw us to your word that we might have a foundation to learn the eternal principles of life and living. Father, if there's those here today that need a fresh touch from you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives, even right now, even at this time, even April 18th, 2010. You are God. And we thank you. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.